This morning, again, I want to say thank you for being our guest at our Back to Church Sunday. And we're going to present a brand new drama this morning entitled Grave Robber. Some of you probably think, man, what in the world is that all about? I had a wedding yesterday, and we ended up meeting in the youth room. And I said, well, you're welcome to have your wedding here in the auditorium. I said, but there are tombstones set up on the platform. They didn't think that was too good of a decoration. I said, you know, I've always heard that a wedding is just a funeral that you smell your own flowers. I don't know where I heard that, but I heard it. No. but this morning, my text is found, it's a very familiar passage of Scripture. It's found in Romans 8 and 28, and most of us would know this verse. I like the way Paul puts it. He says it like this. He writes, And we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. My challenge to you this morning is for you to be able to say, you know what, Pastor, I know. I know that no matter how bad my circumstances are right now, no matter how difficult life is right now, I know that God has a way of taking all that is wrong and making something positive. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, today we're so grateful for just this opportunity to come together and, Lord, just worship together. Lord, I thank you this morning that, Lord, your word is very emphatic, that you can take the worst that life brings to us and you can redeem it for something very positive. So I pray, Father, that everyone within the sound of my voice and, Lord, those that are watching today, I pray, God, that their faith would rise up, even in the midst of their turmoil. Maybe they're in a season of their life right now when the gale force winds are blowing against them, when everything around them seems to be imploding. Lord, I pray that faith would grab hold of the truth that you can take all that is wrong and you can make it right. Be with us today, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, the thought hit me this past week about Wits End. How many's ever heard of the place called Wits End? Have you ever been there? I know that's kind of a silly question because probably some of you here this morning say, man, if you only knew. See, you know the place that I'm talking about. It's the end of the rope. It is life's dead end. It's that place where all hope seems to be lost. It's that place where your will to continue has run out. You know, it seems that we live in a time when this is an all too familiar place to be. Everywhere we turn, we find sadness and sorrow. If you tune your ears in, you will hear one tragic story after another. I mentioned it earlier, but this past week, I had a team. We were down in the Beaumont area helping with relief work. And I'll just be honest with you, the devastation is almost incomprehensible. For me, it was quite surreal to walk into someone's home and haul out their personal things like garbage. I mean, we went into their bedrooms. We rifled through their drawers. We took everything out. And we just piled it next to the street. Most are still in shock about what's happened. Most of them had no insurance or didn't have adequate coverage. One 84-year-old man who had lost everything described it the best. He said he was too old to start over, and he wasn't going to try to do it anymore. He said he was just going to look for a nursing home and live out the rest of his days, even though that's not what he wanted to do. You see, across our country and around the world, we find human suffering at its worst. Today we have civil unrest across the globe. It seems like anything that can set people off sets them off. We really don't understand it, and we don't know how it's all going to play out. Today it seems like people are angrier than they've ever been before. In fact, we've had to coin new words just to describe the rage that we see in mankind. In our generation, we have witnessed workplace violence. We've seen road rage, air rage. We live in a time when family violence is epidemic, and there seems to be no end in sight. That's Wits End. Wits End is that place where we simply want to give up and give in. We get to that place where we simply can't handle another bad phone call or another bad report from the doctor.
You think this is a spot?
I don't know. It's kind of creepy. You know how I hate graveyards.
Yeah, maybe we ought to get started. The boss is coming soon, and I really don't want him to think that we're slackers.
But we are.
You know what? You start right here. I'll start over here.
Okay. Hey, this is my first time grave robbing. What exactly are we looking for?
I'm not sure. Just start digging.
Maybe gold earrings.
Maybe gold teeth.
Maybe a gold ring.
Say, do you believe in, ghosts?
I don't know. Do you believe in zombies?
Grave robbers?
Yes?
Approach.
It's really good to meet you, sir.
We've heard a lot about you.
We're really big fans.
So should we call you Grim or just Reaper?
Or Mr. Reaper or the big G. Yeah.
Silence!
Ooh, do you hear his accent?
So villainous.
Tell me, what experience do you have stealing from the spiritual realm?
Well, this is our first time.
You're kidding. This is delicate work. Why do they send me such idiotic new recruits?
But you.
No, he was talking to you.
You're the idiot here.
Stop bickering. Behold, they arrive.
Are those zombies?
Are they going to eat our brains?
Of course not, you imbecile. They are not zombies. And if they were, they'd starve by now on your brain.
They're going to see us. We better hide.
Silence. They do not know we exist. Besides, they only believe the devil is something of folklore and fairy tale. It's our greatest asset.
What are they all doing?
Well, they're mourning their losses. Can't you see? Follow me and listen.
My old man, he was a Vietnam vet. Tough as nails, Italian. But he couldn't survive this.
The word cancer can take your breath away. Some people even say it's a death sentence.
It was either him or me. And sometimes you have to make the tough choices.
We always wanted children, but then this.
It's enough to crush you.
Stress. Anybody can feel buried under the mounting pressure.
You never know when fear and doubt can put you over the edge.
Wow, that's depressing.
Exactly. I've picked the perfect cemetery. These are prime recruits.
Are they dead?
Only half.
So do we get to finish them off?
No. But if we're lucky, we might convince them to do that themselves.
Why do all of them look so miserable?
Well, you see, thanks to our leader, the Prince of Darkness, these poor souls have been tripped up, devastated and derailed by life's misfortunes. And you two imps have been summoned for one purpose, to rob their graves.
So we are looking for gold earrings.
A ring too, huh?
No. We have no need of earthly possessions. We are here to rob their soul of any last vestige of hope, to convince them that they are alone and isolated, and that no higher power could possibly intervene on their behalf.
My old man, he served in Vietnam, and he was a tough-as-nails Italian. But he suffered from shell shock. Or at least that's what they called it back then. You know, that PTSD thing. And the only thing that brought him comfort and peace of mind was a bottle of booze. It was horrible growing up with an alcoholic father, constantly walking on eggshells. And when I was 11 years old, he just got up and walked out on us. And I swore that day I would never forgive him. So for the next 26 years, my anger has built this grave.
So we're planners.
We love to plan out our future down to every single detail.
Have faith. Dream big. That was our motto when we got married.
So the plan was this. Make a successful business in 5 years. Check.
And buy our first home with 4 bedrooms, of course. Check.
Put money into retirement. Check.
And then start a family.
But we couldn't.
It's been heartbreaking.
We've tried all the medical options and nothing's really worked.
This was not part of the plan. If God loves us so much, then why can't we have children?
So the plan of having our family, the plans of having our family has died here.
Thirty-six years ago, I was a miracle, a breast cancer survivor. Why, at church, they sometimes even referred to me as the miracle lady. But last year, I received a call. Miss Jenkins, we have the results of your test, and the doctor wants to see you immediately. The terror returned. The cancer was back. But do you know what I found out about myself? I'm a wishy-washy Christian. When things are going well, I can shout hallelujah with the rest of them. But when things are going wrong and I have a struggle, it's a pity party. Woe is me. I'm angry. How could he let this happen? Disappointment has become my tombstone.
He was so charming. He swept me off my feet. It was a whirlwind romance. We were perfect together. I kind of felt like Anna from the movie Frozen. Love is an open door. He proposed to me on our fourth date, and of course I said yes. But the night before our wedding, I panicked. I wasn't sure if I was ready, so I canceled the ceremony. Was I really putting my significance in what a man could provide me? I guess my insecurities killed my dreams of ever having a family or being married.
So, I grew up in church. At times, it was cool, but honestly, it just felt like a bunch of morality rules and judgmental people who frowned at you whenever you violated those rules. So at 19, I moved out on my own. Finally, freedom. There's an excitement in freedom, but also a lot of fear. I want to find my own way, you know? But how do you know which way is the right way? I grew up being taught that Jesus was the way, but now I have major doubts. I guess my faith has died.
Being a single mom is tough, and money's always been tight. Do you know how much it costs to buy 3 kids' school uniforms? But one day, my answer came in the mail in the form of a pre-approved Capital One credit card. I kept putting money on that little card, just knowing that one day I was going to have to pay it off. The only problem was I kept putting off that one day. And now, I'm $12,000 in debt.
So what do you do when life takes an unexpected turn? For instance, you show up at work in the morning and your boss hands you a pink slip. Or maybe you come home from work and you find a note that says, I don't love you anymore, I want a divorce. Or maybe you go in for a routine checkup and the doctor informs you that you have cancer. Maybe you raised a child in church and you taught them to love the Lord, but your children have rejected God and are living an overtly sinful life. Or maybe you're like me on January the 2nd, 2012. I was walking out of my house to go to a meeting. I said bye to my wife as she was washing dishes, standing there at the kitchen sink. As I left the house that day, little did I know that it would be the very last day that I would see her standing and whole. She suffered several strokes that has left her disabled and mostly in a wheelchair. And life for us at that moment changed in an instant, what we had known for so long. You see, you and I could be here a long time and we could talk about how life throws us curveballs from time to time. We get into a good rhythm and then bam, seemingly out of nowhere, life comes crashing down upon us. See, that's wit's end. That's what I'm talking about this morning. And maybe you're sitting here this morning and you find yourself at this place. You look around and even during our worship this morning, you see other people and they seem happy. And life seems to be going so well for them. They sing and they worship with such passion. and you wonder to yourself, why can't that be me? You think to yourself, you know what, I really want to be happy. See, I've never met anybody that didn't want to be happy. You just think to yourself, I want to be happy. I want to enjoy life. But it seems that no matter how hard I try, life just doesn't get any better for me. And to make matters worse, the devil tries to convince us that maybe, just maybe God has overlooked us. And that is why we're stuck where we are at wit's end.
These pathetic individuals are bound to self-destruct. You see, they carry with them the death of dreams, plans, and hopes. They even bring that baggage back here to their own church, where it keeps them from worship, from prayer, and from thanksgiving.
Wow, look at all of them. This whole place, it's a graveyard.
But what are we supposed to do?
Sling your fiery darts.
Excuse me?
I've only got a shovel.
Your fiery darts? Did they not teach you anything? You throw accusations and lies at them. You make them believe that they're alone, isolated, and that no greater power could possibly help them out. Give it a try.
A fiery dart?
An accusation. You try.
Okay. Your mama's so fat, when she sat on a rainbow, she invented Skittles.
No. No. You have to aim right at the heart of the matter. Like this. Scoot aside. Your father never loved you. And you're the reason he left home.
Jeez, that's harsh.
Exactly. You try now. Oh, and don't forget, if you say it enough times, they'll begin to believe it.
No man could ever love you. You deserve to be alone.
You will be a slave to your lender forever.
You can't be trusted with children.
There's no cure for cancer.
God doesn't exist. It's a fairy tale.
Perfect. You see, you've now stolen their hope. And if you win the battle of the mind, you win the battle of the soul. Now watch as they crumble.
You know, I would agree this morning that life can be unpredictable at times. And you know what? It can be unfair. I think if you sit here this morning, you understand that life has that ability to throw those curveballs. You know, it would be easy once we get to this place called Wit's End to just throw our hands up and say, you know what, I quit. We live in a culture today where it's so easy to just throw our hands up, shrug our shoulders, and say, what's the use trying anymore? And the truth is, no one would really blame us. But I have some good news for you this morning. If you find yourself at this place called Wit's End, I want you to understand there is a way out. You see, the Apostle Paul in our text this morning, he picks up on a spiritual truth, and that is this: God will take all of the bad, and he will redeem it. I want you to think about that for a moment. God will take, and that's what Paul said, and we know that all things work together for good. He didn't say all things would be good. He just said, God, we know that God can take it and redeem it. Now listen, again, I won't stand here and pretend to know the mind of God, because no one really can. But I do know that God is able to take the worst that life throws at us and make something positive from it. I stood in these gutted homes last week, and I listened to their stories, these homeowners who had lost everything in the flood. And you know what they did? They thanked us for helping them. That just was amazing to me. They said that they had been praying since the flood, and in a couple of the homes that we were in, water was 9 feet in their house. They said that they'd been praying because they were just overwhelmed with the magnitude of that storm and the flood. The ones that we'd worked with had no insurance, and so they just really weren't sure. They still had a mortgage on their home, and they were in their 60s, maybe late 60s. And they just didn't know what they were going to do. But they said they were praying because they just didn't know how to deal with it. They didn't know how to respond. And then all of a sudden, we show up to help them. They said it was God answering their prayer. Again, many of them have no idea how they're going to rebuild, but they have faith in God, that God can take the worst that life gives us and He can make something beautiful out of it. You see, each one of us is a masterpiece in the making. Bob Rogers used to say on the PBS special that there are no accidents. They're just our mistakes. They're happy accidents in painting a masterpiece. You see, they understood that God will bring triumph out of their tragedy. There's an Old Testament story that illustrates this point so well. Most of us here would know the story of Joseph, the guy with the coat of many colors. Do you know that he was hated by his own family, his brothers? The Bible says not only was he hated, they conspired to kill him, but then they decided to sell him as a slave. He's taken to Egypt, and he ends up in Potiphar's house. And you know the story, as he works there as a slave in Potiphar's house, his wife takes an interest in Joseph, and she makes an advance towards him, and he refuses. And yet she tells her husband that it was he who made the advance towards her. He's thrown into prison, where in the prison he meets the cupbearer and a baker. They have a dream, and he interprets the dream. And it comes to pass, just like Joseph said it would. And once the dreams are fulfilled, he's forgotten about. He's left there in prison until the king has a disturbing dream. And then it dawned on him that there was Joseph. He interprets the dream for the king. And I know this is a condensed version, but you know the story. He's made second in command. Think about that. He goes from prison to the palace. Second in command of the entire empire. Later on, his brothers come to purchase supplies, and although they didn't recognize him at the moment, he knew who they were. Later, when they find out that it is actually Joseph that they had been talking to, they were terrified because they knew what they had done. And yet, here's what Joseph said. He said, "You meant this for evil, but God meant it for good, for the saving of many people." You see, sometimes we don't understand that what the enemy means for evil, God turns around for good to impact people. Now, I know it's hard to see right now. When you walk through the journey of doctor's reports and failed business ventures and unemployment and broken families, it's hard to see how God can take those tragedies and make something positive out of it. But listen, there is purpose to our pain. God can redeem every bad situation and turn every test that you and I go through into a testimony. You see, that mess that you have right now, God can turn it into a powerful message to change someone's life. So my word to you this morning, don't sit, soak, and sour. Don't give up on God. Don't wave the white flag and say, "I quit, no mas." Trust God. Trust God. Have confidence in what Jesus said. You remember? He said, "I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you." Hang on to that promise. You see, when Jesus was crucified, all of his followers that had given up everything to follow him thought it was over. They thought they had invested 3.5 years of their life for naught, that this man that they put their hopes and dreams in just was a good man. They thought it was over. See, they were at wit's end. But see, it wasn't over. And thank God that that wasn't the end of the story.
No, not anymore. I refuse to wallow in my situation.
No. Today is Resurrection Day.
Today is the day I put my faith to the test.
If I really believe that God is real,
and Jesus has the power to raise dead things,
then why?
Why am I waiting to trust him?
Boss? They seem to be getting stronger.
The fiery darts aren't working.
What should we do?
Abort mission. I was not aware they'd be armed with the promises of God. And now the dead are coming to new life.
Wait up.
Matthew 6 says, "If I'm willing to forgive my fellow man, then my God in heaven is willing to forgive me."
So we give God our plans, and God has a bigger plan.
And soon, we're going to be the proud parents of two wonderful adopted children.
Now I'm doing something radical. I'm trusting God with my finances. Philippians 4 says He will supply my every need.
I'm learning to let God rewrite my identity and be transformed by the renewal of my mind.
I remember from Sunday school, Jesus said, "Seek and you shall find." So I'll keep seeking.
And although I keep praying for healing, I know that in Romans 5 it says that if we endure in our sufferings, it produces hope. And hope does not disappoint.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my truth till I met you. I was breathing, but it was my choice. Still I've made you call my name. If I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness to your perfect day, you call
Hallelujah. I want you to bow with me just for a moment this morning. Bring the house lights about halfway up for me. You know, every one of these tombstones represents some tragedy in life that happened to individuals. They erected these tombstones. Do you know when tragedy happens, most people never get over it? It's like a ball and chain. It's something that they drag with them the rest of their life. I stand here this morning and I wish there was some way I could take away your pain, your disappointment, the wound that's in your heart, but I can't. Life is imperfect. We live in a fallen world, and Wits End is a real place. And there are a lot of people that camp at Wits End, and they never get on with life. You know what Jesus said in John 10:10? He said, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. But I am come that you might have life and have it in all of its fullness." Listen, every one of us has a past. Maybe that past was great. Maybe not so much. Maybe you have regrets. But don't be tethered to things that happened so long ago, because God has a life for you today. God has hope for you today. Maybe you have unforgiveness in your heart towards someone. Listen, that's a grave that's been erected in your life. And you need to walk out of that grave this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't even know Jesus. Maybe you don't have a relationship with him. And maybe you know who he is. Maybe when you were a kid in Sunday school, you heard stories about Jesus. But you're not really active in your faith towards him. Listen, you can't enjoy the benefits of the family if you're not part of the family. But if you're a part of the family, you can certainly grab hold of the promises of God. Just like illustrated so perfectly, the enemy will throw these fiery darts at us, telling us that God doesn't care and that our life doesn't matter and that we're not important. But that's counter to what God's Word says. You are the apple of God's eye. He's inscribed you on the palm of his hand. And the truth of the matter is, the devil's not big and bad enough to take you out. And with nobody looking around this morning, I'm going to ask a question. Two things. First of all, if you're here today and you're not in a relationship with the Lord, you're not walking in an active relationship with God, today's your day. Today's your day to renew your faith. Today's your day maybe to confess Jesus as Lord, maybe for the first time. But don't walk out of here today still living in a graveyard, when Jesus is alive and has conquered death, hell, and the grave. With nobody looking around, go ahead and turn the spot off for me. With nobody looking around this morning, I want to count to three. Listen, I would be negligent of my duty as a pastor if I didn't give you an opportunity to respond. Don't want to embarrass you this morning, but I want to pray for you. Listen, I rededicated my life in 1985 in a barracks in San Antonio, Texas. And it was the best decision I ever made in my life. I said, "God, you can have everything that I am, my future." Yeah, we've had heartache. I get reminded every day when I push my wife around in the wheelchair. It would be easy. Again, you have your own story. That's my story. It would be easy to blame God and say, "God, I've served you. Why did you do that? Why did you let her get sick?" See, I choose to have faith and to trust the one who knows the beginning from the end. Maybe this morning you've been hurt. It's time to walk out of the grave. I want to count to three. And if you're here this morning, say, "You know, Pastor, I'm not walking in a relationship with Jesus. That vertical connection you talked about, I don't have that. I need Jesus in my life today. I want Jesus to take all that is wrong and make it right." When I count to three, I just want you to shoot your hand up real quick when I say three. One, two, Three. Now just shoot your hand right up and right back down, all across the building. Just right up and right back down. I want to give my life. I want to rededicate my life to the Lord. I need Jesus in my life today. Anybody else? Right up and right back down. Come on, this is your time. I'm not here to embarrass you. This is important. It's important. And let me ask you this. If you're here today and say, you know what, Pastor, I'm living in a graveyard. There are things that I've erected in my past because of the hurts, the betrayal of other people. There are things that have happened, and I didn't realize it until this morning, this simple sermon. I see that I've erected these graveyards, and I've been living in a graveyard, and I'm ready to come out. I want to be free of that. I don't want those graveyards. I don't want to be living in the graveyard anymore. I want to live in the abundant life that Jesus came to give me. I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to count to three. I want you to shoot your hand up. Say, Pastor, I'm ready to come out of the graveyard. One, two, three. Right up, right back down. Just right up. Yes, yes. A lot of hands this morning. Listen, we live in a world of hurt and disappointment and let down. But God still reigns. I'm going to ask the lights to go ahead and come all the way up. And I want you to look at me this morning. Listen, the greatest decision that you'll ever make in your life, and I'm not here to twist arms. If I could make people get saved, I would. If I could make people walk in a covenant relationship with the Lord, I would. Because for me, it's been the greatest thing of my life. And I could go over here and go all the way around the building. There would be people that would tell you incredible stories of God's redemptive power. But you have to find out for yourself. You see, I grew up in church. I'm third generation. My grandfather was a preacher. But there came a day when I had to make it my own. See, I couldn't live off of mom and dad's faith. I couldn't live off of grandpa and grandma's faith. I had to find faith for myself. And when I did, it's better than any riches the world has to offer. I want to ask you to join with me in prayer. If our prayer team, if you guys would join me up front with these that are here. I want you to pray with me this morning. Regardless of whether you raised your hand or not, I'm going to pray first and foremost. If you're here this morning and you want to rededicate your life to the Lord or you want to accept Christ, this is very, very important. Because the Bible is very clear that the soul that sins will surely die. There's an eternity away from God that is a place for those who are sinners and have rejected Christ. But there's a heaven that awaits for all those who walk in relationship with Him. And then I'm going to pray for those that said, you know what, I'm living in a graveyard and I'm ready to come out. So I'm going to ask everybody to pray with me this morning out loud. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me and giving your life for me. I recognize today that I am a sinner and I need a Savior. I ask you to come into my life. Forgive me of my sin and make me a brand new person. I give you everything that I have, everything that I am, and everything I ever will be. I release it to you. I believe right now in my heart that God, you raised Christ from the dead. So according to your word, this moment, my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I am ready to meet you today should you return. In Jesus' name. Now I want to pray for those this morning that raised your hand for the graveyard. Father, I pray right now. Lord, there were many hands that went up all across this building that said, you know what, I'm living in a graveyard. Lord, only you know and they know what that graveyard consists of. It might be unforgiveness. It might be heartache. It might be health issues. It might be betrayal of a friend. The brokenness of a home. The letdown of someone they trusted. And Lord, they've erected those things. And they're not really tapped into that abundant joy that you promised in our relationship with you. Maybe they grew up in church and really knew of you, but never really knew you. And even this morning, as they watch people worship, they don't understand that type of connection because they just know about you. They don't know you. And I pray today that you would make yourself real to each and every one here, and especially those that are living in a graveyard today. Lord, it's time to come out. Lord, it's time to remove the stones that have sealed us in our misery, in our disappointment, in our failure. Lord, it's time to roll away the stone and come forth with new life. I bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, if you prayed this morning that prayer and you meant it in your heart, maybe this is the first time that you've ever asked Jesus to come into your life. You know what? I want to welcome you to the family of God, because now you and I are, we're brothers and sisters in the Lord. Well, I'm your brother. I'm not your sister, but you know. If you prayed a prayer of rededication, you know what? Welcome back. Don't ever put your faith on the back burner. Faith is intended to be vibrant and exuberant. Zealous. Don't ever push it on the back burner, because faith is too important for that. One of the things I'm going to ask you to do this morning is I'm going to ask you as we close out here this moment, I'm going to ask you to do one thing that's probably going to be the toughest thing you've ever been asked to do. And that is, if you raise your hand, I'm going to ask you to take a step out in the balcony on the main floor, and I want you to join us right down front here. You say, Pastor, why do I need to do that? Well, first of all, if you prayed that sinner's prayer and you asked Christ to come into your life, Jesus said that if you're ashamed of me in front of your compadres, your friends, I will be ashamed of you before my Father. You see, when Jesus died on Calvary, listen, he didn't die in a closet. He didn't die behind a building. He died on a hill for everyone to see. Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. That's why it's important that we take that step of faith. Say, God, I'm not ashamed. You prayed that prayer, said, you know, I'm coming out of the grave. We want to meet you here, and we want to pray with you in this makeshift graveyard, that these tombs that you have are opened. So when I count to three, church, we know what to do. When I count to three, I want you to just give an ovation of praise to God. And I want you to come. Balcony, main floor, I want you to come and meet us right here. Not to embarrass you. Listen, this is important, because you're saying, you know what? I'm not ashamed. One, two, three. Come on. Come on. We want to pray with you. Come on. It's not a time to hide. Come on. We want to pray with you this morning. Come on, friend. There were hands up in the balcony. Come on. Amen. Amen. Come on, friend. Come on. You don't have to do this by yourself. You don't have to do this by yourself. Amen. Come on. We'll wait on you. We'll wait on you. Come on in the balcony. We'll wait on you. Amen. Amen. Today's a brand new day. Today's a brand new day. Amen. Amen. Let me ask you to do something real quick. I want you to turn to that neighbor, because I know sometimes it's very difficult to step out in a crowd of people that you don't know. But would you turn to your neighbor and say, hey, can I walk down there with you? And if they say, would you take them by the hand and come? Amen? Would you do that? Go ahead and turn to your neighbor on your right or your left. And if they want you to go pray with them, won't you to come? Come on, one more time. Come on, one more time. Come on, go ahead and ask your neighbor. Come on, friend. Amen. Amen. Church, now I want you to begin praying right now, if you'll stretch your hand towards these that are up front today. Would you just begin to cover them with your prayers this morning? Listen, the Bible says there is joy. There is joy in our relationship with the Lord. Come on, just begin to pray. Just begin to cover them with your prayer this morning. Ask God to bless them. Ask God to reveal and open the plans and purposes that he has for their life, that God would just heal that heart, that God would open up the tombstones that have been erected, that He would decimate those things in our lives, and that He would allow us to walk out free, filled with joy. Father, today we praise You this morning. God, we're thankful this morning that we can choose You today. Lord, we can choose to get over the hurt and the disappointment that's been done to us. Lord, this place called Wits End that's so easy for us to camp out at. God, I thank You that this morning we can leave Wits End because we know, just like Paul said, we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Lord, today I stand here, Lord, just amazed at Your love and amazed at how, Lord, You take the bad and you redeem it to make something good come out of it. Lord, I pray that today that we would never lose sight, that we serve an awesome God, and that, Lord, it's time for us to come out of the grave. Lord, I thank You this morning. I pray for those that are renewing their relationship with You this morning. Lord, may they understand that that is the most important and most vital relationship that they have. Lord, You created us to have relationship with You. Lord, You created us to serve You and to love You. And Lord, we're bombarded with so many different things right now that in our world today, trying vying for our loyalty and our attention. But Lord, we break that this morning. Lord, we break that this morning. I pray that You would just reach into our heart, Lord, and that You would just let us know that, Lord, You are the most important one in our life. Father, I pray that You would renew our faith this morning. Lord, for those that are standing here today and that have joined us for our Back to Church Sunday, Father God, I pray this morning that, Lord, faith would rise up in us to believe. Lord, as we look at our young people that are, Lord, that are stepping forward and stepping out in faith, Lord, we have a great future. Lord, because our kids are growing up and they're falling in love with You at an early age. Lord, we rejoice in that. Father, I pray this morning that, Lord, that each one of us here today would grab hold of the truth that no matter how difficult life is, Lord, You're able to take the mess and give us a message. Lord, You're able to take the test that we're going through right now and give us a testimony of Your grace and Your mercy. Lord, I speak blessings over every person that is here today. I pray, Father, maybe there's some here today that raised their hand that didn't come forward, that, Lord, You're dealing with them through the Holy Spirit. Lord, maybe as a young child, they knew what it was to walk into a church. They knew what Sunday school was all about. They knew what coming to youth group and kids' church is all about. But Lord, life happens. And sometimes we put that on the very back burner of our lives. Lord, today may they see the importance of keeping that in the front of their lives, making it a priority. Lord, because when we have that connection right, life just works better. I pray, Father, as we close this morning, Lord, I pray that the joy of the Lord would go with us as we leave this place. And Lord, when the enemy comes in like a flood, may we take a step back and trust You to raise up a standard against him. Lord, when life throws the curveballs, may we stand our ground and know that You're able to make all grace abound towards us. I love and I bless each one here today in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. 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 God bless you. I love you so much. One more time, give the Lord a hand clap of praise.
Who could care?